Okay, dear Chair, thank you very much for the kind introduction. Today I would like to present a rapid image retrieval approach for mobile location recognition. And as you all know, the availability of GPS is limited to outdoor scenarios where we have only very few obstacles. And also, we will have a very low signal reception in urban canyons caused by multipath of occlusion effects. It will be hardly possible to have any positioning indoors, like in airports, train stations, museums, libraries, and so on. But these are actually the places where we have the most interesting location-based services. So rather than we do not want to rely on location, indoor localization systems that are based on Wi-Fi or RFID, since those require infrastructure that scales with the size of the environment. We would rather like to use images that are recorded by a mobile device and to match them to a visual reference data like Google Street View, which would allow us to derive the pose in a very natural way, derived from human orientation. And to do that, we require content-based image retrieval algorithms to match these query images to the reference images. So among those content-based image retrieval algorithms, the so-called bag or feature-based approaches are most renowned and considered state-of-the-art. When applying them to the task of location recognition, several challenges arise, as you see in this image here. So we took, with a mobile device, pictures on, in downtown Pittsburgh, and they are supposed to be matched to reference data, which would be, for instance, the visually most similar reference data here from Google Street View depicted in the lower part. So as you see, there's a large baseline or between these two images, which is caused by the fact that we only have very sparse reference data. And so the interpanorama distance is approximately 12.5 meters on average. Further, we have very different lighting conditions, dynamic objects, like cars and pedestrians, and also a very complex three-dimensional environment. However, most importantly, we require very low retrieval times, which is caused by the constantly changing user attention and thus the rapidly changing field of view. So these will be very essential, and we can achieve that by first of all extracting extracting features on a mobile device at very low complexity. So to this end, we could use rotation invariant fast features, which have been recently proposed, and those require approximately 27 milliseconds per regular frame on a Nexus One, for instance. Now that we have these features, we want to transmit them to the server, and or at least the information implied in them, and we can do as it was said before, we can do so by transmitting only the visual word indices. So as you know, a visual word is a cluster of features that are very, very similar. And this approach is, as we've seen before, about 5 times better than compressed histogram of Gaussians. But to do that, we require a feature quantization on the mobile device into visual words at very low complexity. So this is what we are talking about in this presentation, and the outline will be that we first of all introduce or discuss state-of-the-art and related work, and then introduce the multiple hypothesis vocabulary tree and provide some detail on its quantization structure, the adaptive clustering approach, and its visual word weighting. Then we will compare it with respect to the state-of-the-art using experimental evaluation and conclude the presentation with a short summary. So as you all know, the robust and rapid quantization of features in visual words is of essential importance for the performance of these algorithms. And among the most renowned algorithms are the so-called regular k-means that recursively quantize the descriptor space by applying a k-means algorithm that allows us to get a so-called vocabulary tree where the leaf nodes are the so-called visual words which are part of the vocabulary. Now, this approach can be efficiently improved using the so-called greedy search, which considers multiple branches of the vocabulary tree and to find the closest visual word to a query descriptor. And this can be considered as some kind of backtracking within the vocabulary tree. The Hamming embedding, on the other hand, stores a strongly quantized and dimensionally used descriptors to allow for further differentiation within one visual word. And last but not least, the approximate k-means generates a flat vocabulary by just one time applying the k-means algorithm to these billions of features, and to cope with the computational complexity, they apply an approximate nearest neighbor search using randomized KD trees. So now to evaluate these different algorithms, we apply them to a typical location retrieval task in an area of approximately 4 square kilometers, including about 5,000 panoramas, which are each composed of 12 rectified images. The query images have a size of 640 by 480 and are represented by 400 features each on average. And as you see in this drawing here, we have these small circles representing the panoramas, which are distant about, the distance between them is about 12.6 meters. And the query images are placed right between them, shifted to the left by 45 degrees with an opening angle of about 60 degrees. So now we would like to compare the related to, the state of the art by precision recall measures. And to achieve a recall of one, we require the algorithms to find the two closest panoramas that are the ones within 10 meters to be retrieved. And correspondingly, a precision of one is achieved if these two panoramas are ranked first. So now if you take a look at this graph, you see that we do not have, only have single precision recall pairs, but multiple, since we consider up to 5% of the database, where obviously the probability that we contain or also retrieve the relevant panoramas is higher than if we consider only a few samples. However, also the precision is then lower since we also include unrelevant panoramas, of course. So now if we compare the different approaches, we see that the hierarchical k-means is inferior to the other approaches. However, it requires only 60 L2 distance computations, which makes it very, very fast. It can be efficiently improved by applying the greedy search to the HKM at the cost of increased query time. So here we require about 510 L2 distance computations to achieve this graph here. The Hamming embedding requires only one third of the computational complexity, but at increased memory requirements as these strongly quantized descriptors have to be stored on the mobile device, which is suboptimal. The HKM, last but not least, is set to perform 192 L2 distance computations within 8 randomized KD trees. So as you see, despite the inferior retrieval accuracy, the HKM is still most suitable for our specific location recognition task, mobile location recognition task, and it was also used in the paper proposing the coding of features as visual word indices. It requires 25 milliseconds on a 2.4 gigahertz desktop CPU. So unfortunately, we do not have desktop CPUs on mobile devices, and they are in a range of about 1 gigahertz. So it requires us to have even faster approaches, and to this end, we introduce the multiple hypothesis vocabulary tree. And now we will go a little bit into its details on the on its quantization structure. So first of all, as you all know, with an increase of the branching factor, we will improve the retrieval performance. However, this ultimately leads to linear search and thus enormous computational complexity if you just search through all possible visual words. And as we want to minimize the query time to achieve mobile location recognition, we limit the MHVT to binary decisions. So that means that we split the, we separate the descriptors along the axis or the direction of maximum variance, which is indicated by the vector U here. And actually, we split along the separating hyperplane, which is placed at the mean of these descriptors that are within a particular node. Now, there's obviously descriptors that are very close to this hyperplane, so the probability that I'm matching this query descriptor is just on the other side of the hyperplane is high. Now, to avoid these ambiguous decisions, we apply a so-called overlapping buffer at the separating hyperplanes. Their width is actually defined by the variance of the data here. Now, this is inspired by the so-called spill trees, and if our feature is assigned to, a database feature is assigned to this overlapping buffer, then it will not be separated, it will be assigned to both child nodes. And this allows us to avoid the ambiguous decisions if features are very close to the separating hyperplane. So altogether, this now means that the database descriptors follow multiple hypothetical paths through the tree that a query descriptor could traverse. And this makes us particularly robust against wide variations. It could be could stem, for instance, from wide baselines. So now that we have, now that we can recursively quantize the descriptor space, we could continue until a certain maximum number of features is reached per node. However, as we consider large databases, those can result or are certainly resulting in differently sized descriptor clusters, which could stem, for instance, from different occurrence frequencies of certain textures, which are, for instance, windows. So now to avoid the overfitting of such descriptor clusters, we want to stop the separation once the descriptor distribution is close to a hypersphere, which means that the descriptor cluster is consistent in itself and no further separation is necessary or useful. An efficient approximation to do that would be to take a look at the ratio of features that are assigned to this overlapping buffer. So here you see actually a node that can be very well separated. A strong variance can be observed in this direction. And on the other hand, you have here a different node where the variance is almost the same in all directions and a larger fraction of the features is assigned to this overlapping buffer. And this would mean that also more quantization steps would be required to separate this. And now we stop this separation process once a certain fraction is included into this overlapping buffer. So this not only avoids the overfitting effects and thus improves the retrieval performance, but also reduces the size of the tree and thus also the quantization time, so retrieval time, what that means. So now that we have a tree or a quantization structure that allows to cope with these continuous descriptor space, we also want to integrate the probability of feature that a query and database descriptor are assigned to the same visual word. And as we know that matching descriptors follow a multidimensional Laplacian distribution, we can say that the probability that a feature is assigned to the other side of this overlapping buffer or separating hyperplane corresponds to the integral over this area of this Laplacian distribution. So here we have a query feature assigned, and the probability that a matching database descriptor is would be assigned to a different node is corresponding to this part here of this Laplacian distribution. So now we have multiple quantization steps, and of course everyone has to be correct. That means that we have to find the probability that a query descriptor and database descriptor are assigned to the same visual word. This has to be always correct, and thus the probability is the multiplication of these individual probabilities. So with these probabilities, we can actually weight the distance calculation between the query BOF vector and the reference BOF vector. So that means that a feature that has been more reliably quantized adds more or has a larger contribution to the distance calculation than a feature that is less reliably quantized. So features where we are very confident about the visual word assignment contribute more to the BOF distance calculation. So now we want to compare our approach with respect to the HKM algorithm, which was used so far. And we can sum up and say that with our algorithm, we did hardly increase the query time. So neither the adaptive clustering nor the visual word weighting adds up to the overall query time. And as you see here, we have applied the same experiment as we described before, where we have to find the two closest panoramas around every query location. And this is the same curve as we had before for the HKM at a range of 10 meters. So the MHVT allows for a significant improvement with respect to the retrieval performance. And this is even more significant if we ask the algorithms to find the four closest panoramas, which are the ones within 20 meters. So what most importantly, we managed to achieve overall query time of 2.5 milliseconds per 1,000 query descriptors on a 2.6 gigahertz desktop CPU. And this is a tenfold speed up with respect to the HKM. So to conclude the presentation, we can say that we are facing the problem of feature quantization on the mobile device to facilitate mobile location recognition. And we did that by generating multiple hypothesis vocabulary, which allows us to cope with ambiguous quantization steps. And we use an adaptive clustering to reduce the overfitting effects. and to integrate the probability of correct feature quantization into the distance calculation. This allows us altogether to achieve a tenfold speedup with respect to state of the art, and this results in 12 milliseconds for 1,000 scripters on a Nexus 1. And the combination of the MHVT with rotation invariant fast features and tree histogram coding enables mobile real-time location recognition at 30 frames per second. So I'd like to thank you very much for your attention, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask. This is pretty much the same as, there was no change, right? We still sent the same amount, we have the same number of bits for the indices.
How much?
But depends very much on how many features you send. So I think it's in the range of, it's about five, I don't want to say something wrong here, but it's five times less as chalk would require to send the same descriptors. So it is. We did not invent here a new compression scheme. That is like still this this coding of visual word indices, but I think it's comparable. But we have no prior knowledge on the location of the mobile device. Now we still have like one tree that is already on a mobile device. You can use this also for mobile product recognition and anything. There's no prior knowledge included here.
Right, you're welcome.